Okay, Rabbi, so let us begin. This week is Parshas Bahar. It's a short but hard parsha. A lot of things going on in this parsha. The parsha begins, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe behar Sinai leimar. Ordinarily, the psukim begin the parsha with the words, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimar. And suddenly here in this week's parsha, Parshas Bahar, there's a change. Pasuk adds in two more words. Hashem did not just speak to Moshe Leimar and instruct him to give over his words to Klal, or saying to do whatever the translation, the different translation of the word Leimar, but Hashem spoke to Moshe Behar Sinai. And what does Rashi ask? Rashi asks the obvious question, what in the world is going on? This has become an expression we use all over the place. My inyan Shemita Eitzel Har Sinai. The mitzvah that the psukim continue to describe, to enumerate, is the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel, all the related laws. But here it is introduced with the words Behar Sinai. Why? Why is this mitzvah singled out more than all other mitzvahs? All mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai. Why particularly this mitzvah is it singled out? And Rashi goes on to tell us, this is a binyan av l'chol ha-Torah kula. It's coming to teach us, Ella, mashmita nemru, Kilala seha, upir toy seha, vidiktu keha, misinai, afkula nemru, kilala seyem, vidiktu keha, misinai. Rashi goes on to explain that we do not find in achar, in ele hadvarim, in chumish dvarim, the mitzvah of Shemitah repeated. We don't find it repeated. We find just the general rules, but we don't find the diktu keha. We do not find all of the details. We don't find the Paratim and the Diktukim in Parash in Chumash Devarim. It only says the details, but it does, as Rashi says, not all the details. Okay,
yeah, all right.
I'm going to discuss that a little bit soon. But Rashi's words are, so what's the answer? I'll read the words inside. Mash mito nemru kililoy seha, the general rules. Upir toy seha, the Paratim. Vidik du keha, and the small details, mi Sinai, because in this week's parasha we go through every single little detail, af kulon. So this is serving as the binyana for all of the tayag mitzvahs, nemru, kililoy sehen, vidik du kehen, mi Sinai, kach shmiya b'taras kohanim, v'nir li shkach perusha. Rashi explains what the deeper meaning of this. Lofi shaloi motzinu shemitas karkois shenishnes b'arvois moya b'mishne Torah. In Chumash Devarim, we do not find this the specific law that when it comes shmita, then all the land is karka shmita yovel. We don't find the laws of yovel. That the land of the Shaftim Ish El Achuza Soi taught in Mishneh Torah. It's only taught here in Parshas Bahar, Lamadnu. It's coming to serve as an example. Sheklilo Secho Upir Toisecho Kula Nemru Misinai. Everything was only taught, it was presented here once in Parshas Bahar. Uboha Kosav Limeit Kan. I'll call Dibor Shinidbar Lemoshim Shemisinai Hoyukulam, all of the details. Kiloseim Vidikukayim, Vichaj of Nishnu Barasmav, and it was repeated. Okay, so he's saying, even though we don't necessarily see every single detail with regard to the Tayag mitzvahs enumerated in the parashiyos that we learn, we find some of the details only presented later on in Chumash Devarim. It does not mean that Moshe Rabbeinu, he went and for the very first time he told us the Paratim later in Chumash Devarim. It's not so. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael every single little detail when the Torah was given at Har Sinai. And then he repeated it again in Arvo Smoyev right before they went into Eretz Yisrael. Even though the Torah in Chumash, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar does not necessarily repeat every single little detail. It does not necessarily say every single little thing. It only says it later in Chumash Devarim. Just because it's not mentioned does not necessarily mean that Moshe Rabbeinu did not actually teach them the details at Har Sinai of every single halach. Okay, that's the famous Rashi. I just want to go back and pick up on the question. Ayin panim l'Torah. Rashi asked a question, and Rashi gave an answer. But there are many commentators that add more ideas as to, indeed, the question is such a good question. It can't be that there's only one answer to this question. There has to be some hashkafic or some, Rashi gave us more of a halachic answer to the question. There has to be an end of hashkaf that relates to answer this question as well. Why specifically in regard to Shemitah and Yovel do we have the term Har Sinai? So I wanted to say an idea, a very simple idea, and that is Har Sinai represents the ultimate desert. Okay, Har Sinai, Hashem tells over and over, Mamor Chazal, Lechtech Acharai Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zerua. Har Sinai is in the middle of absolutely nowhere. In the middle of, we don't even know where it is. There are different ideas, different suggestions where it is. Some want to say it's in the middle of Saudi Arabia, in the middle of Mamish, middle of nowhere. You cannot possibly survive there a day in that environment. The heat, the sandstorms, there is absolutely nothing there for miles and miles and miles in the middle of the desert in Saudi Arabia. And it is specifically there where the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah, period. And by design, there are numerous memory chazal why Hashem wanted to give us the Torah there in the Midbar. And the simple understanding is to tell you that Torah is timeless. It applies wherever you are. Don't make a mistake and think that the Torah only is relevant in Eretz Yisrael. And in case Chas V'Shalom, you will go into exile, or even if you don't go into exile, if you go on vacation to America, in America, when you pass Ellis Island, you can throw the tefillin into the river. Don't make such a mistake. It's not true. The Torah was given in the middle of the desert. The Torah has applications, has relevance, even in the desert. But there's one mitzvah that is singled out much, much more so than any other mitzvah, which is important to be aware of. And that is, basically, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Now, what do we mean by that? There's a mitzvah of living, conquering Eretz Yisrael. V'hechazaktem bo, you shall take possession of the lands of Parshas Matos and Maaseh. We learn about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And every one of the Rishonim has a different way of describing what exactly the mitzvah is, if it's part of the Tayag mitzvahs, how you go about doing it. But one could make a very, very simple argument, and one can say that, we'll take a step back. In all the various elements of Eretz Yisrael, to live in Eretz Yisrael, the Kedushas Haaretz, the pinnacle of the Kedushas Haaretz expresses itself in the year of Shemitah and in the year of Yovel. Because that's the time when you're living there 100% under the guidance, the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Shabbos Haaretz. It's not just that we are abstaining from work. The land is in the state of holiness. The land is in the state of Shabbos Kodesh. And certainly Yovel, it's Shabbos Shabbosain, 7 times 7. The pinnacle of the Kedushas Haaretz is expressed in the year of Shemitah and the year of Yovel, where there is no work in the land, and we are living miraculously only because of the good graces of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he wants that we should have what to eat, we should survive, and we should soak up the Kedusha of the Aretz. And that's a very simple, fair statement. And where is this halacha being taught to us? In the extreme opposite environment. In the middle of nothingness. A desert. A desert, not only is a desert a place that has no Kedusha, it's not a place where the Akedah took place. It's not a place where Hashem, the Evan Shasi, where Hashem made the world. It's not a place that has any historical significance whatsoever. It is a place that is in and of itself is void of any mashahu of Kedusha. But you know something? There's no potential to make anything out of it. What are you going to do there? Well, you're going to dig for oil. You're going to dig for oil today. They're not going to dig for oil. But on the time when the Torah was given, the desert is not a place that even has potential to make something out of it. You want to say, okay, give the Torah in America. No, America has no historical significance. It has no Kedusha. But America has potential. Okay, there are it's fertile. There are natural resources. There's something you can do with the country, with the land. There's something there that you can work with. The desert has absolutely zero to offer. Eretz Yisrael has everything. Eretz Zovas Cholov Udvash. Eretz, the Pasuk says, Lechosar, I've got the exact words. There's absolutely nothing lacking. Nothing, there's no natural resource that is lacking in Eretz Yisrael. And it goes without saying, the Kedusha Soretz, the historical significance. It's the place from where the world was created. The significance of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the place of the Akedah. So Eretz Yisrael is jam-packed with everything there is to offer in the physical world and in the spiritual world. The Midbar is the extreme, extreme opposite. If there is one mitzvah that has to be taught to Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, in order to wake us up and to realize that the entire Torah has relevance, even in the remotest portions of this universe, it is Shemitah. Because Shemitah is the mitzvah that describes the significance of the portion of the world that has the most value, both physically and spiritually. And a person can make an argument, could make a mistake and think that when we come into Golos, when we're in Golos, and now we have to relate, knew this, something called an Eretz Yisrael, leave me alone. When Mashiach will come, and Mashiach will come down from Shemayim on a white donkey, on a white donkey, and the shofar will blow and there'll be miracles, then we'll start worrying and thinking about the Kedusha Soretz. But now, it's not relevant. It's not relevant. We're in Golos. We're here. Eretz Yisrael, for the last almost 2,000 years, was completely desolate. It was controlled by, who knows, it kept on changing hands between the Christians and the Muslims. There were pockets of Jews here and there, but more or less, only in the last 70 years has heard of Jews, and you won't be nasty, you'll say irreligious Jews have come and taken possession of the land and made it into. Is it relevant for us? The Torah says exactly what the Torah here says. You bet it is. You bet it is. Just because you find yourselves in the vast majority of your existence in Golos, far, far away from the Kedusha Soretz, here at Har Sinai, I'm telling you the laws of Eretz Yisrael. I didn't push these laws aside. What would have been if things would have happened like this? It's Har Sinai. Hashem gives us the Torah. He gives us the entire Torah except for the laws of Shemitah and the laws of Yehovah. And we travel in the desert for 40 years. We now come to Arvas Moyav. Moshe says, listen, I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem does not allow me. But I can see it. I can stand on top of the mountain and I can see the land. Now, let me present you with all of the relevant laws of Eretz Yisrael. It's a beautiful land, has a lot of milos, has a lot of kedusha, and this is what you're supposed to do in this land. There's going to be Orla, Kiryat Kerem, and there's going to be Shemitah, and then you're going to count 7 years, there's going to be a Yovel, v'chulu, v'chulu. We would say, okay, very good, this makes a lot of sense. It makes this very... You taught us in the desert about tefillin, about mezuzah, about a mikah, about kosher meat, and about korbanos. Yeah, in the Midbar we had 40 years to learn all the basic halos. But the laws of Eretz Yisrael, which are totally irrelevant for people traveling in the middle of the desert in Saudi Arabia, it's totally irrelevant. It only first became relevant to understand these laws when we were on the boundary in Arvos Moav, and we can see from the distance the land that we're about to conquer. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, he presents to us, it's not just theoretical, it's now practical. He presents for us all of the details. We will be very happy with this. This is a very solid argument. We'll be very, very pleased. Hashem Bedavka says no. I'm taking you out into a part of this world that has absolutely nothing to offer. I'm taking you to a region where the concept of an Eretz Yisrael is abstract and as far into your minds as can possibly be. You can't see it. You don't understand what it's all about. You don't know what it looks like. You can't relate to it. You're just sitting on top of sand in the middle of nowhere, struggling with sandstorms. That's all you got over here. And I'm going to teach you about the Kedushas Haaretz. This is what I mean to you. Behar Sinai. Har Sinai in the desert. Lechtech acharai bamidbar. Be'eretz loy zerua. A land of nothingness. Why? To get into your heads that the Kedushas Haaretz is relevant for you in Golos, no different than the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when each man is ish yoyshev is sitting tachas gafnei te'enosai, when the land has been developed and is in blossom to the fullest degree. And you think what I think I'm saying is so simple? It's a very big nisoyim for all of us here in this room. Because if we really took this so seriously, we probably wouldn't be. We probably will be in Eretz Yisrael. Because most of us live with excuses. We need parnasa. We need this. It's not so easy to chinuch habanim and parnasa. And a whole collection of reasons why we still find ourselves not taking advantage of the Kedushas Haaretz. So I'm not the one to criticize because I'm just guilty as everyone else. But the only thing at least is to be sensitive to its Kedusha, to care. Tzion, it says in Megillas Eicha, Tzion, Ein Doireish Lo. So Chazal Darsh, Michlal, if Hashem is complaining, no one is being Doireish, no one is inquiring. Michlal Debo Ayah Derisha. If this is Hashem's complaint, then Hashem is saying, Tzion demands Derisha. You have to look after its good and welfare from far. Even though you may not be living, you may feel that it's not yet the time when we can take the full advantage of Eretz Yisrael because we don't have shalita over the country to the degree that we need for there to be the Beis HaMikdash, v'chulu v'chulu, and all of the complex matters that are involved in statehood, v'chulu v'chulu, it doesn't give you an excuse to turn your back and just say, who cares? It's not my problem. It's not a religious country. It's controlled by Tzionim and all of these things. That is a pathetic, pathetic thing to say. That's apikursis. And the proof is, look what it says over here. It says here, Behar Sinai. You can be removed from the Kedushas, from the physical Kedushas Haaretz to the nth degree. But you have to be concerned. You have to be concerned. And each person in their own hashkafa, in their own abilities, in their own understanding, has to be concerned and involved in the Kedushas Haaretz. Isn't that a very simple lesson of my Indian Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai? Shemitah represents the pinnacle of the Kedushas Haaretz. Har Sinai represents the pinnacle of zero Kedushas Haaretz in this world. Zip, nothing. Desert land. A land of no holiness. A land where there's no potential to do anything. And it's specifically here, I'm telling you, Tzion, Ein Doreish Lo, Michlal, Debo Ayu Derisha. Understand that in this world there's a Mokhan that's Kadosh. There's a holy land. The land has what to offer. This is where your mind should be. If you physically you can't be there, but that's where your mind should be. You should care about it. You should take an interest. You should do things to seek out its good and welfare. That's your duty. Because it's only in regard to the Kedushas Haaretz does the pasuk go out of its way and break all the rules and doesn't just say, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimor. But it says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe behar Sinai leimor. even when you are in a matziv of the extreme opposite, there's something to pay attention to. Okay, that is one idea. Let's now go to an entirely different idea on this parasha. Let's talk about emuna. One of the most difficult topics, controversial topics in Yadus is emuna. Pesach, we all know, is about emuna. Everything is about emuna. It all comes down to emuna. As the end of Masechta Makos, Chazal tell us that they're really tayag mitzvahs, but, you know, not everyone is so smart. Not everyone has the ability to dwell upon all of the tayag mitzvahs. So if you want to buy the cliff notes on Chamishe Chumshe Torah, it's just one page. The tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. Bo chavakuk vehemidon al achas. The tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. Question. What exactly is the definition of emuna? Define for me in words this principle, the concept of emuna. So that is a ridiculous question. Go into a bookstore and all the books in the bookstore don't even answer that question, how to define emuna. However, there are three, among many ideas, there are three ideas which the commentators tell us stand out. And there are three different principles which we should take seriously, we should have on our minds and grapple with these three ideas. The shita of the Chazon Ish. That is not his shita. It's something which he put in words. These are ideas which are from time immemorial. It just happens to be that our generation or the previous generation, there were Gedolei Yisrael that put into words principles and concepts. And there are three of the greats who have put into words the meaning of emuna in very precise words, and their definition has created quite a bit of controversy. And they are the Chazon Ish. Number two is the Chovas HaLevavos. And number three, Rav Yisrael Salanter. Three great minds who have put into words their unique definition of emuna. The Chazon Ish, the Chovas HaLevavos, which lived way before, and Rav Shol Salanter, which lived before, obviously, the Chazon Ish, but not all that long ago. What are the three different approaches to emuna in a nutshell? The Chazon Ish takes a very dark look at emuna. It's a very morbid, dark approach. And these are his words. I'm not making this up. The Chazon Ish basically says, a person has to believe in Hashem 100%. But you have to realize, with all of your emuna, nothing's going to change. There are certain things in this world that Hashem wants to happen. And in our minds, they're not very pleasant. They're very difficult things that happen in this world. All of your faith in Hashem, even if you succeed in achieving 100% emuna shlema, ani mamin be'emuna shlema. All of this, by the way, is not practical, what I'm telling you now, because today I don't think it's possible for a person to reach 100% emuna. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I can't say that. But generally, it's not what we're discussing now is not something that it's practical. It's more theoretical. Okay, that's my disclaimer. What I'm going to say now, it's all theoretical. But the Chazon Ish says, even if a person will succeed in reaching 100% of what is required of him of emuna, it's not going to make a difference in what's going to happen to you. If the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's decreed that a person should only live this number of years, should have to suffer this event, should this thing should occur in his lifetime, that's how it is. And emuna basically means to accept, to acknowledge that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's decision, it's his ratzon, this is what he wants, we are his servants. Emuna means to accept, pure acceptance, to realize that everything, what appears to us to be good and what appears to us to be not good, is the will of Hashem. It's a very hard line. It's a very black and white approach to
inhuman.
What?
It's almost inhuman to think like that.
Why not? Why is it inhuman? I think it's very realistic. It's a very realistic approach. You think that the things are going to change? If it's meant to be that the person's, whatever the situation is, in the situation, well, you think that, Hashem, I believe it, I'll pray to you, I believe in you, and I'll daven to you, but you have to accept the fact that Hashem will say to you, no. The answer to your request, I acknowledge that you have full belief in me. You fully acknowledge my existence and that I'm fully capable of changing the world in an instant, but I'm sorry, the answer is no. When I explain the other two, we'll see the contrast. There's a little bit of a very fine line. The Chovas HaLevavos. The Chovas HaLevavos is very interesting. He says, if a person succeeds in having the full emun in Hashem, that means Hashem possibly will change events for you, will change things. A change will occur. Possibly. No guarantees. It's similar to the Chazon Ish, but if you put your full faith in Hashem, you're opening up a possibility that even though it's not meant to be, the situation is such that all doors are closed, Hashem may change things. Now, let's first understand the Chazon Ish versus the Chovas HaLevavos. The Chazon Ish says, nothing doing. You can have the fullest emun in Hashem. There is still, with the fullest emun in Hashem, there is still no possibility, it does not demand, your emuna does not change the equation. It's not going to result, I'm going to have emun in Hashem, because through my emuna, it will enable me to convince Hashem to change. No. Having full emun in Hashem doesn't change the equation of Kihuzeh. You still should have that emuna. But don't expect that through your emuna, which is 100%, it's going to open up a situation where things are going to change. You can daven all you want. Daven, you can pray to Hashem all you want, but the emuna does not give new life to the situation. The Chovas HaLevavos says it does. But it doesn't guarantee anything. Because at the end of the day, Hashem makes the final decision. I think we live pretty much in a world with the Chovas HaLevavos. Not like the Chazon Ish. And then there is something which many people find very shocking, but this is something which is discussed quite a bit in the Musa Sfarim, the Shita of Rav Shul Salanter and the big Balei Musar, and they say something which is it's hard to swallow, that if you fully succeed in having a Muna, you'll get whatever you want. Whatever you want. There was a story with one of the big Balei Musar, and he says, I'll prove it to you. I want a gold watch. I want a gold watch. I really want a gold watch. A watch, $1,000 gold watch. The gold watch, hey, are you getting it? Yep. I have emuna that it's important for me to show you. I have emuna. There's a good reason why I need a gold. In my mind, I want a gold watch to prove you this point. I have emuna shalema in Hashem that He's going to provide me with a gold watch to show you that I'm, to bring out this point. And they're walking, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a guy comes up to them and gives them a gold watch. Can you imagine? It sounds like a Baba Maisa, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like a total Baba Maisa. I agree with you 100%, but because that's because we don't have. It's, that's why I told the whole thing for us is not practical because we don't have emuna. We don't even know what emuna means to really believe. We think we know what it means to believe, but we don't really believe. We really don't. We don't believe. I'll give you an example of a person. You have a lot. There's a famous example of a lottery ticket. You tell a person, you're going to win $1,000. You are going to win. A rebbe gives a bracha. I'm giving you a bracha. Go out now. Powerball. Go out now. Buy a ticket. Go buy a ticket. One ticket. And you're going to win the entire thing. So the guy buys the ticket. He comes back. I got the ticket. Okay. The rebbe says, how much will you win if you win this ticket? I'm going to win $10 million. Make $10 million. After taxes. $10 million go in my pocket. So the rebbe says, takes out, you with $10 million, here is $50,000 cash. $50,000 cash. Honest money. Clean money. Clean, hard-earned money. I want to buy that ticket. I want to buy that ticket. Here. You walk out of the room right now. I'm giving you cash. $50,000 cash. Give me your ticket. So the guy grabs it. The guy grabs it. Who wouldn't, right? So he says, you don't have a emunah. If you really believed, you really believe that this ticket, I gave you a bracha, you're going to win $10 million, you're a shaita for giving away $10 million for $50,000. You're a shaita. So why are you such a rush to give me the $10,000? Because you really don't believe. You can say, you can convince yourself that you believe, but we all know we're not believers. The reason why this sounds like a Baba Maisa to us is because we can't even imagine what it means to believe. We live in a very mundane existence. It's only now. It's not known to be blamed for this. We live in a very mundane existence. So, what, you're going to tell me impossible things? It's not possible for us to believe this.
So, if Moshe Rabbeinu had a Emunah, how come he wasn't allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael?
He sinned. Moshe Rabbeinu did an Avera. Hashem punished him. And Emunah cannot. Okay, there are rules of Emunah. There are rules. You can't have Emunah. Even in that category, Mishol Salanter is Emunah. There are still limitations, of course. There are limitations. But his saying is, if to me, it's not a good thing to be sick. It's not a good thing to be sick, because I need to serve you, Hashem. So therefore, Hashem, I believe in you. My Emunah in Hashem creates refuah. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So we have here, these are words, I'm telling you words, I warned you in advance. Everything I'm telling you now is theoretical. We probably live in a world in the middle. We hope, we're optimistic. So we live more, and also you have to understand that there's a very fine line between prayer and emunah, how they all go in, they're all integrated. Prayer really is an expression of emunah. So again, there are three opinions, and these are all discussed. These are the three, and these opinions, these three opinions, they're just putting in words what are ancient principles of emunah in Yadus. Okay, just like with Tfilin, Rabbeinu, Tam, and Rashi, they're not the ones who invented this shita. These, the different approaches to Tfilin existed way before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. It just happens to be that Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam put into words the principle of these two different types of Tfilin. So these are three major principles which we label the Chazon Ish, the Chovas HaLevavos, and Rabbi Shol Salanter. The Chazon Ish says, you can daven to Hashem all you want. We're going to use the word prayer and emunah interchangeably, because they really are one and the same. You can daven to Hashem all you want, which means you can reach the pinnacle of emunah. So what? It gets you nowhere. It gets you nowhere as far as getting you what you want. It brings you very close to Hashem. Your neshama is a new neshama. When you make that request, when you achieve an emunah where you're dovuk in Hashem, you're Olam Haba, you're in a new place, you're in a new world. But are you going to get what you want in this world? No. Hashem will do what He wants. If Hashem has made a decision, there are sometimes Hashem didn't make a decision. There are things that are up in the air. Sometimes, you know, you could be mispalel, you can, because Hashem didn't say yes or no, so you can feel it works. But there are situations where the decision already has been made. And now you want to reverse it by prayer, have emunah in Hashem. The Chazon Ish says it doesn't work like that. All of the emunah cannot change anything. The Chovas HaLevavos says no. If you pray to Hashem, even in what appears to be impossible situations, the faith that you put in Hashem creates a power where things can change. Possibly. Maybe yes, maybe not. Still, Hashem is the arbitrator. He can still say no at the end. And Rabbi Shol Salanter says, no, Hashem has no choice. Hashem is a prisoner. He's a hostage. He's a hostage. Mamash. If you could achieve the full degree of emunah that is demanded of you, that basically forces Hashem's hand to give you what you feel is to your benefit. Okay, these are theoretical principles, but we're putting it in words. So our boy said, who's right? Here we are, Flatbush, sitting over here, right? we're going to solve all the world's problems, and we're going to have the gaiva to even say such a foolish thing. Who's right? Who's right? The Chazon Ish? The Chovis HaLevavis?
Everybody.
Or Rabbi Shaul Salanter? Who's right? What do you think is right? So I want to show you now that in this parsha, the parsha is telling us they're all right. They're all right. How are they all right and why are they all right? How are they all right? Let me show you. This week's parsha, Shemitah, is the ultimate test of Emunah. What are you, suicidal? You're going to work 6 years, and the seventh year, I'm going to sit back and relax. I'm not going to go out to work. I'm not going to plow the field and do nothing. Excuse me, if you don't go out to the field and plow the field, where do you think the food's going to come from? Who's going to feed you? And what happens when it's going to be a yovel and you're not going to have food for 2 years in a row? What's going to be the following years? So the pasuk, in fact, addressed that question. If you will say, so Hashem says, don't worry. Don't worry, my child. I'll take care of you. But wait a minute. This pasuk only appears in the middle of the parsha. It doesn't even appear in the main section of the laws of Shemitah and Shemitah. Now let me explain. We start off the parsha with the laws of Shemitah. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemar. And we learn, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'mar talehem ki sovo el aretz Shemitah. It tells you, Sheishonim tizras sodecha v'sheishonim tizmor kamecha v'yosafes tvuosa. V'ashana ha-shviz! Shabbat, Shabbos, Son, Yelo, Oret, Shabbos, Lashem, Sotcha, Lo, Isis, Rav, Chamecha, Lo, Isismar, don't do this, Eisviach, Isviach, Lo, Isik, Sov, Yisim, Zom, Zom, Lo, Sov, Shnash, Shom, Tin, Oret, V'chai, Isa, Shabbos, Shabbos, Lacham, Lo, Och, let tells you all the rules of Shemitah. Wait a minute. The obvious question. Who's going to feed me? It's your problem. When the parasha begins with the laws of Shemitah, it does not address the practicality of Shemitah. Now let me say, that's normal. The Torah tells you only work for 6 days, right? Work 6 days.
Yes.
And Shabbos, what do you do? Don't talk about Shabbos Kodesh. The 6 days, and on Shabbos, you don't go to work. Who's going to support you on Shabbos? Did the Torah anywhere say in Chumash Bereishis or anywhere in the Aseres HaDibros, V'chisoymru, how can we not work on Shabbos? My boss told me, if you don't come in on Saturday, don't come back on Monday. So did the Torah address that question? V'chisoymru, you're going to say, but my boss told me, if I don't come in tomorrow, there's no job for you on Monday. My family, they're going to starve. You know how hard it is to get Ribbono Shel Olam? Do you know how hard it is to get a job? How come the Torah didn't address that question? The Torah says, it's your problem. And so you figure it out. You figure out a solution. I'm not here to solve all your problems. I'm giving you a mitzvah of Shabbos Kodesh. Okay, kosher meat. You're only allowed to eat after all the laws. But in the Shleilam, kosher meat is double the price. I can't pay for kosher meat. Or I should go and become a vegetarian? V'chisoymru. Yeah. V'chisoymru. Does the Torah say v'chisoymru? No. You figure it out. I can't use a razor. How am I supposed to shave? How am I supposed to cut off the... You figure it out. The Torah is not a problem solver. The Torah tells you the rules, and you figure out how to work with those rules. So why is it all of us... So when it comes to the laws of Shemitah... It's very normal. The first section of this week's parasha, the Torah told us, there's something called Shemitah. You got a problem? It's your problem. You figure it out. Figure out a solution. All right, so that would be very, I think we'd be very satisfied. And then we go, we have the parasha of Yovel, and then we have all of these parashios in the middle. Talks about Oino, Oino as Dvorim, Oino as Momoin. It talks about people selling their property, redemption, how much the property is worth. We have all of these multiple halachas. And then, after we come to the next aliyah, we come to the third, and after we go through all these halachas, the Torah, let's revisit the laws of Shemitah. And it says a pasuk, V'nasina ha'aretz pirya, the earth will give, produce fruit, V'achaltem lo soiva, V'shaftem lo vetach oleho. One pasuk. Rashi, on this one pasuk, pasuk yutes, V'nasina sheloi tidagu, do not be worried, Mishnas batsoires. Don't be worried about famine. Okay? And then it says, V'achaltem lo soiva. And then it says, you'll be satisfied. Af b'soicha meyayim tehei boi bracha. What's this pasuk all about? It's telling us that, you know, there might be, you might have trouble, there might be a famine, but don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Whenever someone tells you, don't worry, what do? You worry. If the captain of the plane says, don't worry, just fasten your seatbelts and go into crash position, and don't worry, everything is under control. Put on your life vest, and pull the cord, and don't worry, everything is under control. Really. When someone tells you don't worry, it means there is potential for churban. And here, we don't need this pasuk here. What's this pasuk doing here? Don't worry? Don't worry? It means there's potential, but things can change. And then the next pasuk goes on to say, v'chisoymru. If you have complaints, ma noichal ba'ashona ha'shivis, hey loy nizra v'loy nesevis tuvu aseinu, Hashem says, trust me. Vitzi visi es birchosi lochem bashona hashishis viosos es hatvuol lishloish hashonim. L'cho'oira, these three sections are addressing the three madregois in Emuna. The first section is the Chazoinish. The Chazoinish. I'm giving you a land. 6 years you're going to work. In the seventh year, you're not going to work. Is that going to be a problem for you? It may very well be. You figure out a solution. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not giving you brachas. I'm not changing anything for you. You got a problem? Figure out what to do. Put away. Maybe you should put away. Maybe you should go on a diet. I'm not telling you. I am not over here promising you any change will happen in this world to accommodate your problem. I'm giving you rules. If your rules are a conflict to your comfort zone in this world, so that's your problem. I want from you emuna. The Chazoinish says, you got a problem? The problem is an opportunity for you to come close to Hashem, to daven with your full heart that things should get better. And you know something? Many times they do get better. Tefillah works. It works. But you have to realize sometimes Hashem says no. And don't have unrealistic expectations that I have reached the pinnacle of faith in Hashem and I have davened to Hashem with the perfection of what tefillah was meant to be and that demands I get what I want. It doesn't. You have to go through the steps. Going through the steps will result in coming close to Hashem. It's a very high level of emunah of the Chazoinish. No promises, no bending of the rules, nothing changing. That's one darga of emunah. Now let's discuss the second darga of emunah. Second darga of emunah. The second darga of emunah is person is in danger. There's a possibility that we'll starve to death. Batsoires, what does it mean, shnas batsoires? Famine. What happens when there's famine? You die. And Hashem says, I'm going to take care of it. I have the power to guarantee there is no batsoires. Now, there are times of famine. Avraham Avinu had famine, and he went down to Mitzrayim. The Shvatim had famine. Yaakov, they went down to Mitzrayim. There is something called batsoires. It does happen. Hashem says, you know what? I have connections. I'll take care of it for you. Have faith in me. If you have faith in me, then you know something, things can change. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Don't worry. If you tell me don't worry, I'm worried because unfortunately, many times things do not work out. What level of emunah is that? That's the level of emunah of the Chayvus Halavavus. You got a problem. Al pi derech hateva, you're headed to a year of famine. If you don't plant and plow, that's where you're headed. But I'm telling you, I'm going to change the situation. Possibly. Possibly. V'nosina ha'aretz piriyo. V'achaltem lo soiva. V'shavtem lo vetach olecha. Rashi says, Shaloi tidagu. Don't worry. It could happen. It could not happen. If you'll have faith in me, then things can work out. That's the Chayvus Halavavus. Al pi derech hateva, there's going to be a famine. But, you know, I can change things. Have emuna. Your emuna will create a possibility that things will change. Not like the Chazon Ish that says, you can reach the pinnacle level of emuna, there will be a famine, whether you like it or not. And there was for Avraham. And then we come to the third level of emuna, the Rishol Salanter. Not everyone is on that madrega where they can take no for an answer. Or even take a maybe no. There are people that need to hear a yes. So Hashem says for you, guess what? V'chisoymru, if you're going to say to me, Manoichal bashona hashivis, hey, loy nizrav, loy nesav estivu asenu. So you know what? You have faith in me, and that will guarantee you will be okay. The faith you have in me creates a situation where I am a hostage to your will and desire. Vitzivisi, I will give the command. Es birchasi lochem bashona hashishis viasos es hatvo l'shloish hashonim. Three levels. I want to suggest that the chazanish is the highest level. The highest level is you got to be ready for a no. You got to be ready to accept a no. That's a very high level to be willing to accept no for an answer. Hashem, you know, it's not fair. Like I told you, it's all very, very, very theoretical because no one's living a life like this, of this type of emunah. But a person who, theoretically, if he could reach the highest level of emunah, Hashem says, very good, but the answer is no. And therefore, you observe Shemitah, I don't make any promises in the first parasha of Shemitah. There are no promises, it is what it is. The situation is what it is, no promises. If it's meant to be a famine in Shemitah, accept it. That's the way life is. But not everyone is that madrega. There are people that can't take no for an answer. There are people that Hashem says, you know, for you, we're going to have a different set of rules. I want you to reach a very high level of emunah, where your emunah can create a possibility. I will still be the final decision, but I want you to get the feeling that through your effort of reaching this faith, things can indeed change. That's the second pasuk of Shemitah. Yes, if you reach that, so there's potential for a shnas bat soires. Maybe there will be a famine in the seventh year, maybe there won't be a famine in the seventh year, and further. But if you're good, v'nosna ha'aretz yivula, it will be good. And then there's the third madrega, people who cannot accept no for an answer. If you put me in this world, Hashem, it's just not fair. It's not fair. You cannot put me in this world to torture me. If you put me in this world and you told me to have faith in you, that automatically demands in my little mind that you give me what I want. You give me what I want. And you're responsible. Like that's a very big debate in parenting. Okay, in parenting, is a parent responsible to satisfy a child's desires? So I grew up in a generation, the answer is no. The answer is no. I did you a favor by putting you into this world. And you figure it out. Leave me alone. And today in the modern world is, don't even have a child, by the goyim for sure it's like this, don't you dare have a child unless you know in advance you can make that child happy. You have to be able to make that child happy before you even can you have a think about having a child? You have a college fund set up for him, because if you're a parent, you brought this person into this world, you are responsible to make sure that he has everything that he needs. It's not his problem, it's your problem. There's some truth to that. There is some truth to that. And here a person can say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, listen, you put me in this world, you told me to have faith in you, and now I have to suffer? That's not fair. So Hashem says, you're right. You're right. If you reach the pinnacle of what you're supposed to do in having faith in me, I'm a hostage to your will. And even though it may be sealed in blood that you're not supposed to have what to eat, we can change that very quickly. You'll get whatever you want. But then there are people on a different madrega which don't have such expectations of Hashem. Let's go to the Chavis HaLevavos. Hashem, you did me a very big favor by putting me in this world. That alone is enough, because whatever it means, the emunah that we have, what it means of coming into this world to experience this world for Olam Haba, wow. You're entitled to torture me in this world. You really are. But you got to give me a chance. I think that's really where we fall. We really fall pretty much. I think that's where you look at society today, I think we fall in that category. Where, listen, you know, I understand the no is a no. I get it. But you know, you got to give me a chance. And if I earn it, if I really daven hard enough, it got to be that my davening will create a possibility that things are going to be different. If you're holding that madrega, v'nasena ha'aretz yivula, Rashi, al tidog mibnei shnas habatzores. You're right. There's what to worry about. A shnas habatzores is on its way. I acknowledge. But you know something? Al tidog, I'm going to change. You know why? Because you have emunah. And then there's the highest level, which who could be shaykh to? This is something which is beyond us. What the Chazon Ish describes is, you can daven all you want. You can become a malach elokim tzavakas. But it doesn't change anything. Hashem is not your servant. Hashem is not your hostage to do what you want. Hashem put you in this world, and that's it. Don't have expectations more than that. You don't understand how this world works. Hashem runs this world the way he wants. And therefore, I'm giving you a mitzvah. It's a very difficult mitzvah. I'm not apologizing for the difficulty in this mitzvah. You're not going to plant in the seventh year. That's a problem. That's right, it's a problem. I'm not changing the rules. Whatever will be. You figure it out. Make the best out of it. You live in this world. Haneg bohem minig derech eretz. Okay, so we have here three different discussions of Shemitah. And we're suggesting that these three discussions of Shemitah are coming to address three different approaches, fundamental approaches of the most basic tenet of Judaism, of the tzaddik be'emunaso yichyeh. Bo chavakuk ve'henidon alachas. We put everything back to one simple thing. Tzaddik be'emunaso yichyeh. What is emunah? Does my emunah create a change in Hashem's nature of what he's going to do in this world? Three major differences. The Chazon Ish, Chavis HaLevavos, Rav Shlomo Salanter. Rav Shlomo Salanter says, yes, it does. Chavis HaLevavos says, not a guarantee, but it creates a possibility. Chazon Ish says, nothing doing. If Hashem doesn't want, all of the pinnacle of emunah is not going to change it one bit. And look at the parasha. Three different discussions of the same mitzvah addressing three different thoughts, three different outlooks of emunah. And obviously in the different generations of Jewish history, we were on different levels. The Hamoinam, and there were some generations where you can say the majority was with the program of the Chazon Ish. And there were generations where they were with the Rav Shlomo Salanter. Today we look at Rav Shlomo Salanter as being bizarre, right? We look at it being, no one thinks like that today. But there are generations, that's how they live their lives. They're still, they're in every generation, or maybe in each generation, there are different types of people who are on different spiritual levels. Their neshamas come from different parts of Hashem's Kisei HaKavod. So they have a different approach to life. Okay, one last short vart, very short vart. There's an amazing omission in this Rashi. This Rashi says something very, very bizarre. You have to look at this Rashi later when we learn the parasha. How could you ignore this omission? Rashi says, My inyan shmita eitz lar Sinai. Ella, ma shmita, the answer is, shmita nemru kililoy seha. The general principles. Ufir toy seha. The details. Vidiktu keha. And what? And the little details. What fine details? Wait. What are the three things? Right, the klolim, the protim, and the diktukim. Could you explain to me what the differences are? The klolim means shmita. The protim, don't plant, and don't harvest. And what are the diktukim? I don't know. All right. So you're going to have to go into Shulchan Aruch. And you're going to have to go, and Rav Meir is going to classify for us on Monday morning. He's going to bring in a whole spreadsheet, taking what it says in Shulchan Aruch, breaking it down into the klolim, the pratim, and the diktukim. So just like when it came to Shemitah, we have three categories, whatever they may be, so too you should be aware that every single mitzvah of the Tayag mitzvah is at Har Sinai. We got, how would I, you finish the sentence? The klolim, the pratim, and the diktukim. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, so too, every single mitzvah, we got Har Sinai, we got the klolim, and the diktukim. What happened to the pratim? And Rashi, just in case you thought it was a typo, he repeats himself twice, and he leaves it out again. Why, when Rashi follows just like Rashi, you got the claw of the Pratim Duktukim, so too, all the mitzvahs, Har Sinai, every single mitzvah, you got the klolim and the dikdukim. Excuse me, you left out a word. We got the klolim, the pratim, and the dikdukim, whatever they may be. Okay, every single mitzvah, Shulchan Aruch, you have to go somehow break it up into three categories. Rashi left out a major word, twice, maybe even three times. Read, I think even three times it says it. You have to read the Rashi. What is going on here in Rashi? So you know what this does? This forces us to ask the very difficult question, what exactly is a prat? And what is a diktuk? What's the difference between the two? So I want to suggest, a diktuk are all the details. You know what the prat is? The prat is something that it only says by one mitzvah. In the entire Torah, the question: Ribbono shel Olam, I can't do this. I can't do this. V'chi soimru manoichal bashana hashavias. The klal is shmita. The pratim, open up the diktukim. Open up the Shulchan Aruch. Everything that you see in the Shulchan Aruch is called the diktuk. Everything. There's no more categories. What's the prat? The prat is the hashkafa. What did you just tell me to do, Hashem? You told me to do a mitzvah that doesn't make any sense? You told me not to go to work in the year of Shemitah and I should starve? What? That's the prat. V'chi soimru, ma noichal bashona hashviyis, hey loy nizhav loy nesav tefuwa seinu. That's the prat. And Hashem gives you the answer. The answer is, it's my world. I'm in charge here. I'll take care of you. You don't worry. Now comes the answer. So too, just like when it comes to Har Sinai, Hashem taught when it comes to Shemitah. The Klolim, Shemitah. The Diktukim. The Diktukim is what? The details. And the insurance. We'll call the Pratim the insurance. Don't complain. You do the mitzvah, I'll take care of you. So too, every single mitzvah at Har Sinai, Hashem taught the klal, the mitzvah, the details in Shulchan Aruch. Now what about the prat? The prat? No, that is not necessary anymore for any mitzvah, because the prat that is taught by Shemitah, it covers everything. Once Hashem taught us by Shemitah, Hashem told us, the extreme, can't be more extreme than this, not to go to work for a whole year? This is literally suicidal. And Hashem says, I got your back. I got you covered. So any mitzvah you're going to say, I can't go wear tefillin. I can't wear tefillin. What are they going to think of me wearing these straps around my arm? It's not good for my blood pressure to wrap these straps around my arm. It's not good. Hashem says, you had a question? Is your question, v'chi soimru, I can't wear the tefillin, v'chi soimru, I can't put a mezuzah on the post of my door because, I don't know, whatever, any question that you're going to have regarding any challenge you're going to pose to me regarding any mitzvah, is your question greater than the question when it comes to v'chi soimru ma'noichal ba'ashona hashishis? No way. V'chi soimru ma'noichal ba'ashona hashishis is the prat, the question that is so encompassing. Once you ask the question there and you get the answer there, you will never ask that question and need to ask the question to get the answer regarding any other mitzvah. Because any other mitzvah, the difficulty level in any other mitzvah pales in comparison to the question and answer by Shemitah, where for a whole year you're not working the land. So Rashi is very precise. Just like when it comes to Shemitah, Hashem taught us Shemitah. And Hashem taught us all the nitty-gritty details, because it doesn't say these details in Parashas Chumash Devarim. That's the Diktu Keh. And Hashem also told us the Pratim. What is the definition of the Prat? It doesn't mean a halacha. It means the Hashkafa. It means the challenge to your mind. The Prat here in this context means the question. Hashem, are you serious? Are you serious? You want us to do this? What are we going to eat? And Hashem gave us the answer. You do what I tell you to do and I got you covered. Oh, so now we know when it comes to all of the mitzvahs, we got all three. Hashem taught us tefillin with all of the klal tefillin with all the diktukim. And any challenge you have, you know something? You don't even have to tell me that anymore. By tefillin, mezuzah, kosher meat, or git hanasha, or you name it, or anything you can possibly come up with, Shabbos Kodesh. Because once I learned the prat by Shemitah, the prat of Shemitah Chisoymu, that prat covers taryag mitzvahs. It's not necessary. We just need to know that we have the klolim and the diktukim. Again, we want to wish a mazel tov to Rabbi Michal Miller on the ufruf of his, the chosan of his granddaughter. What's his name? His name is? David Schwartz. Zevi Schwartz. And again, a mazel tov to Rabbi Yisachar Mordechai Zev Margolis on the birth of a grandson after three granddaughters.
Yes.
Have a wonderful Shabbos. All the best to you all.
Thank you.